David, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness. Called it divine time for a reason, because everything happens at the right time. And this certainly is a perfect time to be discussing this type of business strategy. And hopefully I can empower individuals so that they too can align with my mission of making a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. Which, by the way, I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun that isn't happy. So it's aligned with my mission to empower over, and I repeat, over a billion people to be happy.
You know what? I love that mission of yours. And I forgot to acknowledge as well that you brought out a new book. And honestly, I'm going to share with you guys that are listening in what the title of the book is, which is, I believe, Don't Do Business with Dickheads. Is that correct?
Yeah, Don't Do Business with Dicks. The title was supposed to be How to Ditch Toxicity and Surround Yourself with Positive Influence. But Simon & Schuster realized that my other books, like Connected to Goodness, Compassionate Capitalism, Unstoppable Creating, they didn't sell off the shelves because of the title. They needed people to tell them it's a good book. I will tell you, people have bought this book out of my hand because of the title when I'm walking at the airport. So Simon Schuster knows the book game, because I'm so pleased, even though the title is a little bit off brand, I'm very pleased with the results.
It's like calling out the elephant in the room, because no one wants to do those things, but you've kind of like, do you see what I mean? Like, you really kind of called it out, and I want to acknowledge you about it. I think it's great.
Thank you. Well, I do want to get to the scaling part of this, because I was super excited. Nobody ever asked me about some of these strategies, and this is a really important topic and subject matter in which I will lend my expertise to hopefully help people to regain and retain their identity through success.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's jump into some of the questions, because I did have some really good thoughts around this, because I feel like a lot of founders really unknowingly tie their self-worth to business performance, right? So when their revenue drops, growth slows, or uncertainty hits, it doesn't just affect the business. It affects how they see themselves, you know, as a human being. What does a founder need to understand if they want to stop emotionally attach their identity to outcomes? Any thoughts?
Absolutely. And what a great question, because this reconciliation is at the forefront of the interference that great successful leaders in business have, because they are adverse to a word that doesn't really mean what they think it means. And this word is called surrender. The minute you mention surrender to an entrepreneur or executive, they immediately think about retirement, sitting at home high on their mom's couch, dreaming about what they want, all the kids that didn't do what they were supposed to do. But the truth is that surrender actually means something different. Now, let me put a context around scaling, and then I'll get into the detachment of outcomes. My dad, who gave me a lot of bad advice, which helped me get to where I am, my dad gave me one piece of advice that I'll never forget that applies to, if you're going to take one thing away, take away this story. My dad told me, if you don't like someone, I want you to pray for them. I want you to tell them, I'm praying that you have thousands of employees and hundreds of thousands of square feet of office space. And they're going to walk away and say, wow, that Adam Strong, what a nice guy. He wants me to have thousands of employees and hundreds of thousands of square feet of office space. Little does he know that you have given him the scalability curse, that you have cursed him, because nothing is more misunderstood or misutilized than thousands of employees and hundreds of thousands of square feet in overhead. So let's start by realizing that, as you stated to start off, that just because you have 1,000 employees and hundreds of thousands of square feet doesn't mean you're going to be happy. In fact, there's a lot that comes along with it. So how does this detachment of outcomes work? Surrendering is a very interesting thing. See, surrendering to me means that I am surrendering to circumstances, but taking control. What do I mean? Here's the mistake that most entrepreneurs make with the success and scalability of the company, is there's more circumstances, there's more options, there's more opportunities, there's more touches of favor. And so they get overwhelmed and they start to procrastinate. See, the antidote to feeling overwhelmed by your success or the scalability of your company is to understand time. See, the human experience is very simple. It starts when your heart starts. It stops when your heart stops. and it's divided by 24 hours. You're guaranteed by God 24 hours every single day of your life until the last day. God will cheat you minutes, moments, or hours, determinative upon what time you die. But most importantly, as the scalability and surrender occurs, I start to understand that circumstances, uncertainty is truly the only certain thing alongside the 24 hours. So how as a leader can I maintain my identity and still maintain the progress and detach myself from the outcomes? So here's how we do it. Number one, you got to know what you want each and every day. And you need to know your divine direction, which is the direction you want to be in, not what's missing, what you don't have, what other people want, or what social media wants for you. But you also have to align the meaning of the past with your divine direction, because that meaning of the mistakes, setbacks, failures, defining moments, historical relevances, that's what's going to limit you, because it limits the idea. It limits the personal self-image, and we'll never overachieve our self-image. And so the first step to detachment, to surrendering, is knowing what I want in my divine direction and aligning the meaning of the past. The second step is knowing your who. Who could I help and who can help me? Fastest way to get to where you want to be, find someone that's already there, ask them for directions, and help someone with directions to get to where they want to be. You're guaranteed. Now, the third step is know how to do it. And here's where the certainty of time comes in. If we want to take control of circumstance, knowing that every time we make a decision, every time we come to an agreement, verbal, written, implied, even with consideration, time, emotion, and value changes. It's guaranteed. The instant we come to an agreement, time, emotion, and value changes. So how do we take control of the uncertainty of circumstance? Well, we take what's called non-circumstantial or non-negotiable behaviors. Because if we assign time 7 days a week, a minimum amount of time to pay attention and give intention to these non-negotiable activities, the coincidences that we want, the coinciding of the universe, will occur. And so I list these out to people all the time. I take control of the certainty of my non-negotiable that says, no matter what happens every day, I'm going to spend a minimum of time sleeping, because sleep allows me to recover. Those people that recover perform better and access information, which elevates my awareness. Those people that have a higher level of awareness make better decisions and are statistically more successful as well. So sleep, the most overlooked common habit of all human beings. I have a sleep coach for over 20 years. I'm one of the world's best sleepers. I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep. That's how important sleep is to me. But then I spend a minimum amount of time on my health, something that so many entrepreneurs miss out on. Once again, not taking care of themselves. Then spending a minimum amount of time on my family, on my faith, on the study of time, on the study of relativity of that time, meaning of that time, and then the study of finance. So I'm studying the financials position. Now that should equal half of your day. That should equal a minimum of 12 hours a day. Now notice that the majority of that's sleeping, number one, and two, that non-negotiable behavior, believe it or not, regardless of the circumstances of the day, will provide 90% of the progress you desire. It's only the other 12 hours of circumstantial behavior that drives people crazy, that exponentially grows with the scaling of a business. It's only that 12 hours of circumstances that gets you 10% extra. So it's also because it allows you to detach, and I'll tell you why, because most entrepreneurs are like me. You finish every day, 7 days of the week, saying, I'm never going to get everything done. I'm never going to get everything done. And it just gets worse and worse and worse the bigger the business is. Well, here, when you're a non-negotiable person and you get your 12 hours of non-negotiables, now you say to yourself, I got everything done today. Now, let me prioritize for 12 hours circumstances and what I think is important according to the circumstances. But I know there's trillions of options and opportunities. I feel at peace and at ease, not at a loss. I'm not attached to the outcome. I'm never going to get there. I will give one other piece of advice about detachment. You know, when you attach to an outcome, things happen too slowly. So you're waiting on God all the time. So if you feel like you're waiting on God, then act like a waiter and start serving others. It'll speed up the
process. It sounds so philosophical, or with the wisdom that you've just given, because when I think of the word surrender, I think of it as, is it positive or is it negative? And so the ideology of, I love the fact that you have reframed it in such a positive way that actually, you know what? You don't need to be outcome focused. If you just let it go and make it life simple, it will just, you have to kind of like slow down to speed up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's also a paradigm shift that I'm going to get myself out of the realm of I'll be happy when I reach that goal to, for the sake of what do I want that goal? And what am I doing to interfere with that goal? You see, I categorize things in my life as, is this person, place, a thing, event, circumstance aligned with where I want to be or better? Is it aligned with my divine direction, or is it interfering with it? And if it's interfering with it, I shorten the distance of that resistance through wisdom and faith. And that faith is a key component of saying, look, I don't understand the circumstances of today. There's no evidence, or the evidence is contrary to where I want to be, but I have faith that God's protecting me, promoting me, perfecting me. I just don't know how losing all my money, including my mom's house, is somehow perfecting me or promoting or protecting me. But here I am as proof 20 years later that when I lost over $100 million, including my mom's house, that it was the greatest protection, promotion, love, and perfection of Dave Meltzer's life. It just took 20 years to prove it.
Thanks very much for sharing that story, because I think it really puts things into context. One thing that maybe this is saying that personally that you can share, this required a massive mindset shift from you. Like, I mean, you must have gone through a lot of struggles for that mindset shift to happen, but was there a certain realization that happened that you thought, this is the catalyst, this is the equation to the formula, this is where I need to go? Was that, what was that period of your life? What was that like? Describe it to us.
There was a moment when I lost everything. The only reason I wanted to be rich was I wanted to create financial security for my family. But specifically, my mom raised, as a single mom, 6 kids on her own. And I dreamed of buying her a house and a car and creating that financial security. So when I lost everything, I not only had to tell my mom I lost over $100 million, but I lost my mom's hope. And so when I went up to her door to tell her that she needed to move, that the bank was going to evict her and foreclose on the home that I bought her because I never took my name off of the title of that home, I couldn't speak. I was like a 4-year-old crying. And she said, sweetheart, what's the matter? Are you okay? Are the girls okay? Is your wife, Julie, okay? What's the matter? And like, you know, like a 4-year-old. And finally I blurted out, mom, I lost everything. You need to move. I lost your home. I'm an idiot. No, no, no. Are you okay, son? Mom, I lost everything. I lost your home. You need to move. Oh, do you need some money? I'm like, mom, I don't think you heard me. I lost your home. You need to move. Why is God punishing me, mom? And my mom smirked. She was just told that her son lost everything. And because I was too afraid to tell her I was having financial problems, it was a big surprise. But a bigger surprise is she had to move. And she smirks at me and says, son, God doesn't punish anyone. God is protecting you. He is loving you. He's promoting you and perfecting you. It's time for you to figure out why and how. My response at the time, mom, I don't believe in God. Her response again was a big smile. David, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. Now, I want you to know that I love you. I'm proud of you. And I have your back. But you need to figure this out. I'll be fine. Let me know I can serve you. I named you David Meltzer. David means beloved. Meltzer means servant. Live up to your name, son. That changed my life. I left there and said to myself, I'm going to be of service. I'm going to take all the skills, the knowledge, and the desires that I've built up. And for the sake of helping others, I'm going to make a lot of money and have a lot of fun. And so I shifted that paradigm. I started looking at my life. Is this serving me, or is this interfering with my God? And so the drugs and the alcohol and the negative relationships and the things that I was saying to myself and the things I was thinking about myself and believing and feeling, I shortened that distance of resistance. I changed my mindset, my heart set, and my handset. And I took the time to say that although there's no evidence today, or the evidence is contrary today where I want to be, if as long as I stay consistent and enjoy the persistent pursuit of that potential, sooner or later, I will be there. And it happened very slowly, and then all of a sudden. And now I make more money than I ever dreamed of. I help more people and have more fun than I can imagine, knowing I'll never overachieve my own self-image.
Hey guys, me again. And I just want to remind you about the Exit Readiness Assessment, the most amazing tool for CEOs and founders that are looking to build a self-managing company. This will help you to identify what's blocking you from helping you to step out your business operations and effectively scale up and eventually exit over the next 12 to 36 months. It gives you a personalized report and you can complete it in less than 4 minutes. All you have to do is head over to readytoexit.scoreapp.com. That's readytoexit.scoreapp.com to get your personalized score. Enjoy. That was such a great story. First of all, thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners. It probably brings a tear to your eye, but you know, you got here because not just because of hard work, but because you managed to figure it out and you didn't give up, which is what I can take away from the conversation, right?
Yeah, you know, too many people, that's the one thing I wasn't going to do. You know, I had that poem by Anonymous, Don't Quit. And, you know, it basically resonated with me that, you know, even though you seem it'll never happen or you're, you know, so close and about to quit, you just can't. And that's what I help inspire other people with, to identify what they're doing to interfere with their infinite, abundant, unified system of thought with more than enough of everything for everyone, more than enough energy, inspiration, intuition, and intelligence for everyone. Let's all just figure out what we're doing to interfere with it.
Crazy. Wow. Thanks so much for sharing that. Now, I know that because we only got a short period of time with each other and stuff like that, but there was one particular question that has actually sparked my imagination. I want to talk about something that is quite close to something in the world of entrepreneurship, because we've both been in entrepreneurship for, but it's probably between us about 50 years. One thing that probably is still to this day is that modern entrepreneurship still glorifies the hustle culture and the constant sacrifice. But I find that many founders are building businesses that look successfully externally, while slowly they destroy their quality of life internally. And you talked about that in your story. What do founders often realize too late about the way they built success? Any thoughts there?
Yeah. When you think about the hustle culture and you think about being so disciplined, I think the missing component is the difference between discipline and devotion. You see, I work with so many different people that are so disciplined. They're disciplined working so they can make money. They're disciplined working so they can be healthy. They're disciplined working so they can spend time with their family. And they end up getting so busy being disciplined working, they make no money, they have no health, and they lose their family.
Yeah.
See, when you intertwine the difference between discipline and devotion, see, when you put the discipline behaviors into the divine direction and you apply your why instead of searching for it, when you identify what you're doing to interfere with it, you now are devotional in your behaviors, which is a whole nother level. So now you're devotional about your activity you get paid for, and you increase the amount of money you make. You're devotional about the activity you get paid for, and you increase your health. You're devotional about the behavior you get paid for, and you increase your relationships with family and relatives because you make it non-negotiable. And you believe that it's not only the wisdom, but it's the faith in something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom that will keep you in the divine direction with faith that it's just a matter of time, divine time, when everything you desire or better will occur. You see, there's a mathematical equation of devotion, and it says this: when you're devoted to what you're focused in on, when you're devoted to being intentional about what you're focused in on, which means I'm devoted to say, do, think, feel, and believe, aligned with where I want to be or better. Not where other people want me to be, not what's missing, not what I don't have, not what other people want, not what social media wants, but what I want. When I'm devotional about what I pay attention to, when I'm devotional about what I do say, think, feel, and believe, it will equal the coinciding or coincidences of the universe or better. Mm-hmm. And so I stick to the behavioral responses to, is this aligned or is this interfering with where I want to be or better? And I stay and pay attention and give intention to that which I desire or better.
Before we wrap up today, I like to put myself in the spotlight, David, purely because we're both entrepreneurs, right? And I think that, you know, it takes courage to show vulnerability. I know a lot of our listeners don't really struggle with compatibility. They struggle with emotional clarity. You know, they're constantly reactive. They're firefighting all the time. We're mentally overloaded, whether it be through social media or whatever, you know, kind of standards that we set ourselves. Is there any practical disciplines that you would advise someone like me, instead of coming from, you know, lead from intention inside instead of survival mode? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, beyond the non-negotiables that we previously discussed, yeah, it would be the discipline of the infinite loop of giving. And within the context of the infinite loop of giving, I would be very disciplined in making sure that quantitatively I look at what and how I'm of service, what I'm giving, but more importantly, to have the perspective of finding the light, the love, and the lessons in all that I'm given. And so for me, there's this loop of being very disciplined about giving more, being giving more, being given more, and then understanding receiving more. You see, most entrepreneurs, you talked about that word sacrifice. There is no sacrifice. There's just investment. And once we can understand that when we receive, we are giving a great gift. Now, let me explain this, because it took me years till I believed this bullshit, because I was told by the founder of the Unstoppable Foundation, you know, when people give, Dave, you're giving them a bigger gift than they're giving to the charity. And I'm like, that sounds like a whole bunch of, bullshit,
baloney,
basically. But it's not. Because here's the thing that I learned. Why do I love to give so much? Because when I give, when I'm able, when I'm capable of helping other people, I'm closest to God. I'm at my highest self. So therefore, when I deny or cheat somebody, when they offer to help me and I say, no, 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 it's okay, I'm cheating them of a great gift and feeling able and capable of helping me, of being closer to God, of feeling their higher self, which is inspiring them to do it more and more and to give more than more. And so I want people to learn the discipline of giving more, being given more, receiving more, and then even asking for more than more, to have confidence there's more than enough of everything for everyone, that God has more than enough. And therefore, asking for more for the sake of giving more than more, being given more than more, receiving more than more, and then asking for more than more than more, instead of living a zero-sum game like entrepreneurs do, where they give more than they get back. And no matter who you are, if you give more than you receive, you're going to end up at zero. Zero. It's a math. And yeah, I want people to give more, be given more, receive more, and ask for more than more, so they can live in an abundant world of more than enough of everything for everyone. Live in divine time, do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. And I promise you, you will make a lot of money for the sake of helping others, and you will have a lot of fun. And I've never met anybody who makes a lot of money for the sake of helping others and has fun that isn't happy. And if you're happy, that's what will make me happy. I do want to offer everyone in your community, I will sign my book, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book, if you email me, david@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com.
Well, first of all, David, just wanted to say thank you so much. I know we only had a brief time here. We should definitely do it again. Because, I mean, listen, we could probably talk for hours, couldn't we?
Sooner than later. No more 18 months waiting period.
Hell no, definitely not. Well, listen, guys, I know that David's got a shoot now, but I just wanted to acknowledge his gift. Make sure that you go check out David over on LinkedIn and all social media channels. And make sure you check out, make sure that you email David immediately before he chews his hand off. So David, just want to say thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We really greatly appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, right?
Absolutely. Stay strong.